And tonight we're finishing the big book for the ninth time on Wednesdays. And we're on the 10th time on Saturday. We started the meetings. Our 10th anniversary will be the last Saturday of September. Then I've been doing these meetings. And then we started the Wednesday night and the Sunday night in the beginning of the next year. And so I always look back at when I get to pages, the last few pages of Vision for You, and I think how grateful I am that God gave me the chance to be able to do this and be of service. I didn't realize that when I was younger that I always wanted to be a doctor, and I thought I was a good doctor. Nurses said I taught well. I always thought I was a good teacher, but I didn't realize that my real calling would be to be able to teach the big book. Who would have thought? And so we never know what the plan is for us. And I'm grateful to God. It's all his doing. Tonight we're finishing up a Vision for You. We have a lot of people who are relatively new in the program. These pages really apply to you as well as people who've been around. So we're on page 162. And the part of the big book that we consider the instructions is up to page 164. The steps 1 through 12 is in the big book from the first page to page 102. And then to wives and to employers and the family afterwards is all first and 12 step information that's very powerful. And then a Vision for You is what they wrote in 1939. They had no idea what was going to happen. And we spent 3 weeks, this is our fourth week on this chapter. And it takes us more than a year to cover the book because I've been adding stuff from the steps we took and carry this message and history and all sorts of things. So it takes us a little bit longer. So it says on here, they talked about Bill W. in the lobby. We talked about that in 1935. He turned away from the bar. Things were bad. He had fear grip him. He thought about going to the bar for company, but he was really thinking about drinking. He says, maybe one. And then he says, suddenly, he turned away from that. He shivered and had fear, and he shivered. God said, bad idea, Bill. And remember, he had tried to work with people for 6 months and couldn't get anybody to really do the program. He called Dr. Bob. They met. Then they went to A number 3. And then we discussed the next few pages on how AA was in the beginning. And now we're going to look at really what the fellowship, what the whole deal is all about in these three pages. And it says, someday we hope that every alcoholic who journeys will find a fellowship of AA at their destination. Now the point I made, and it's going to be made in the next few pages, is that the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous was not people who just decided to go to an AA meeting. It was people who they worked with and who wanted a spiritual solution. These were people who were committed to doing the deal. And the ones who didn't, they never got to the meetings, because the meetings were small. And remember, they were in three groups at this time, one in Cleveland, one in Akron, and one in New York. And they would go to the hospital to find people to see if they were willing. And so the people who came, it's a different situation today. It's not good or bad, it's just changed. So they were working with a very committed group, and the people who stayed were in the fellowship of people seeking the solution, working the solution together. To some extent, this is already true. Some of us are salesmen and go about. Little clusters of twos, threes, and fives have sprung up in other communities, though through contact with our two larger centers. They had people go to Chicago with a big book. They had people go to Baltimore and Philadelphia from New York. And eventually, it's spread around the country. Remember, they wanted to sell the big book, remember? And they sold shares, and it was called Works Publishing, get the picture? And they sent postcards to every doctor so that they could buy books for their patients. That was a good idea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they sent out 1,000 cards, and they got 5 replies from wives who wanted the book for their husbands.
Whoa.
Think about it. So in the beginning, it didn't go like they thought. But then eventually, in 1940, they had a meeting with Rockefeller, who was really one of the most influential people in the United States at that time. And they had a dinner, and then he said this is something that he thinks is really, really going to be helpful. And then they became known on that, and then somebody from the Saturday Evening Post wrote an article about AA, and then it started to grow. And then the meetings started to crop up. And I think they had about 8,500 members when after a few years and the war. And it during the war, people used to stay in contact with their groups, even though they were overseas. And then we have it today. It says, thus we grow, and so can you. And here's an important point. Though you be but one man with this book in your hand, we believe and hope it contains all you will need to begin. So this book was written as the path to recovery. The book is called Alcoholics Anonymous. Anybody ever know that? We call it the big book, but it's called Alcoholics Anonymous, and it is Alcoholics Anonymous. And the groups took their name for the fellowship of people who were doing the book together, and they called themselves AA. And they said, the book has everything you need to begin. And so the book has everything you need. And in the beginning, and Joe and Charlie make this point, the fellowship and the book were the same. And we know what you are thinking. You're saying to yourself, I'm jittery and alone. I couldn't do that. It says, but you can. You forget that you have just now tapped a new source of power much greater than yourself. And they talk about this several times, that you've tapped this inner resource of power. And that's what they talk about the spiritual awakening. I came in here self-centered, completely defeated, and now I have a power, a resource that's available to me, and it's a resource that will tell me drinking's a bad idea. And all I have to do is stay close to that resource and follow the directions of that resource, and my life will be great. It's a power to live. And it's to duplicate with such backing what we have accomplished. And here it is. It's only a matter of willingness. We talked about that a lot. Willingness opens the door to everything. Until people are willing, they can't open their minds to anything. And I think what happens is people come in here willing to do certain things, but they're not completely willing, completely open-minded to listen with the desperation of a drowning man. And patience, I circled patience because that's one of my character defects is impatience. That's because I'm a doctor, you understand. We can't wait for anybody. You know, when I go to the barbershop, I can't wait. You know, Walgreens, you know, they know I'm important. I'm being facetious, but I lived that way for a long time. Now I just laugh at myself. But patience means that you have to wait. I remember when I started this meeting 10 years ago, it was down the hall, and you know, on Wednesday night, we'd have 4, 5, 6 people. And my sponsor, who had died by that time, my first sponsor, he told me, God will send whoever needs it there. Don't worry about that. Don't do the meeting based on any of those expectations. Just present it for people who are here. And you have to be patient. Understand God's time is not my time. And labor, work, we have to work for it. It says, we know an AA member who was living in a large community. He'd lived there but a few weeks when he found that the place probably contained more alcoholics per square mile than any city in the country. I don't know which city he was talking about. It could have been Eddie. This was only a few days ago at this writing. The authorities were much concerned. He got in touch with a prominent psychiatrist who had undertaken certain responsibilities for the mental health of the community. The doctor proved to be able and exceedingly anxious to adopt any workable method. Why? Because there's no other solution, really. Doctors have tried to work with alcoholics forever, and usually it was the most common conversations. The person would get admitted with cirrhosis or pancreatitis or some complication, and they'd say, "You better stop drinking. This is bad for you." And the alcoholic would say, "Absolutely, I'm going to quit. I'm never going to drink again. And then 2 weeks later, I'd go, I had one guy, every 2 weeks I'd have to go down to the ER at 3 a.m. and pick him up. And we used to have to take the patients up ourselves and put them in the bed. I'd say, back again. He says, oh, I'm never going to drink again, doctor. And he meant it. See, doctors don't understand the fatal nature of our disease. We have no power to quit on our own. And so they were willing. So they inquired, what did our friend have on the ball? So you could ask yourself, what do you have? If somebody would ask you that. And our friend proceeded to tell him. And with such good effect that the doctor agreed to a test, notice the word, among his patients and certain other alcoholics from a clinic which he attends. Arrangements were also made with the chief psychiatrist of a large public hospital to select still others. Now look at this, from the stream of misery. That's what it is, it's a stream of misery which flows through that institution. There's no other way to describe untreated alcoholism. It's a stream of misery. Anybody in a stream of misery? And we're drowning in it, right? But all we had to do is reach up to God with the desperation of a drowning man, and the flimsy reed became the hand of God. That's on page 29. I never forget that. Anybody remember when you were drowning and you reached up, and then you look at your life today and you look back and you say, wow. And so if you're new, all you have to do is reach your hand out of the stream of misery you think you're in. Seek God, get help, work the steps, get through the book, and things will work out. So our fellow worker will soon have friends galore. Some of them may sink and perhaps never get up, but if our experience is a criterion, more than half of those approached will become fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now the people they approached were in the stream of misery. They weren't people having a bad day. They were people who were really defeated. And so out of that group, it still only, they still only had half make it, but then they say that the other half of those eventually came back. The success rate was much higher only because the denominator was different. And the numerator, you can make any statistics you want. You could say 1 in 1,000 today, and maybe it was 1 in 2 then, but they didn't count the 998 that didn't make it. And so you can adjust statistics. I think the success rate is the same today as it was then. It's for people who really want it, the success rate's very high. The people who don't really want to do it won't do it. The success rate's very low. And the ones who don't want to do it, we can't say they're bad or worse than us. It's just they're blocked. They're not ready to give up on themselves. So if you're new here, all we ask you is give up on your plan. And try this plan with everything at your disposal, all the earnestness at our command. We beg of you to do this and go to any length and then see the results. A doesn't tell you what to do. They just suggest that if you don't have another plan, you do this. And then see what happens and tell us. And the book, people who wrote this book are telling us what happened to them because they did this. And I'm telling you, I did this and my life's great. I'm not perfect by any means. You all know that. But my life's better, and I have a resource that I can go to get me out of being disturbed, and to have me. I can have serenity and peace when I seek God. It says, when a few men in the city have found themselves. Now notice the words, and they became fellows of AA. Now I was a fellow of the American College of Physicians, a fellow of the American Society of Clinical Oncology, American Society. But to become a fellow, I had to do a certain amount of years of training, and then I had to pass a 2-day exam that was 10 hours each day. Whoa. And then I became the fellow. And so when they're talking about becoming fellows of AA, I think they're talking about people who have done the deal and are doing the deal. Remember, we had that picture of the old timers sitting around the room at the meeting, and the newcomer comes in. And they give experience, strength, and hope to the newcomer. And then the newcomer wants to pick up the kit of spiritual tools, remember? Works the steps, and then he becomes an old-timer. An old-timer in the old days was just somebody who worked the steps and was living in the solution. And so when you find yourself, now what does that mean? Was I lost? I was lost from God. And I made those cards. I gave him the gene who's going to take him back to Louisiana. But I'll get some more of these cards that shows the world of alcoholism to the world of the spirit. And I'll be bringing some to all the meetings. It really makes sense to me. Yeah. We want to get out of the world I created by playing God to the world where God created, where I am the person he created. Now, which world is going to work better? You see? And so I had to give up on my world. And that's what steps 1, 2, and 3 are, is giving up of your world and trying to get out of that world to the real world with God. And then steps 4 through 9 are how you do that. And 10 and 11 is how you stay in it. And discover the joy of helping others face life again. It is such a joy. We've had a lot of birthdays lately of people who've been coming here. They've celebrated a year, 2, 3 years, and they've been here the whole time. And it's just, it's just such a great feeling to see that and to be part of that. There will be no stopping until everyone in that town has had his opportunity to recover. Notice the word recover, if he can and will. And we talked about cannot, we started on How It Works on Saturday. We're reading the How It Works preamble. We did the first page, constitutionally capable of being honest with themselves, those who cannot or will not. So who becomes a cannot or a will not? And I think we all start out where we think we cannot, and then the grace of God comes in, and then we have the opportunity to do it or not. And will we do it or will we not do it? And then the will nots become cannots because they're so blocked, and then they get defeated, and they may get that moment of grace, and then they'll see the truth about their situation. And then the question is, what do they do with that? Do they do it or not? And still you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who wrote this book. Well, we know that's not true because we're studying the book today. And it's like you're reading the scriptures. The scriptures were written 2,000 years ago, but you're with the people who wrote it. You're experiencing that. So we're experiencing in contact with them. We cannot be sure. God will determine that, so you must remember that your real reliance is always upon him. Is that in the big book? How many times is that in the big book? Quite a few. And it says, remember, you can't rely on anything but God. Your dependence must be on him. It can't be on other people or things. And really, that's the whole theme of the big book, is that you have to rely on God instead of yourself. And then the steps are how you stay out of relying on yourself. And when you rely on God, remember it says that when we drew close to him, he disclosed himself to us. And that's a promise. It's the end of we agnostics. So when you disclose, when you get close to him, remember we're talking about conscious contact, God reveals himself to you. So a lot of people come in here and they want to know who God is and this and that. Well, all we say is, do the work, seek this power, and then he will reveal himself to you, and then you tell us about it. And it's individual for each person. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave, so you can create your own fellowship and the fellowship you want. This one speaker says, the people you hang around with are the people you'll become. So think about that. What are the people doing that you're hanging around with? What kind of program are they having? Are they in the book? Are they sponsoring people? Are they working the steps? It says our book is meant to be suggestive only. Now that some people could see that as a cop out. The problem is it's the only suggestion they have. And it says we suggest a program of recovery. It doesn't mean that the program of recovery is suggested. It means that's the only suggestion AA has. Now you hear a lot of things at meeting, but AA only has one thing and one thing only, which is the 12 steps. It's the program. This is the suggestion. This is what they did, and this is the result they have. We realize we know a little. We don't know everything. More is always being revealed, right? How many times have you read this book and you see new words in it? Or you see new ideas? It's the same when you study the scriptures. It's amazing how spiritual books come alive. And the more you study them, the more you see. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. And how does God do that? When we seek him, when we pray, when we meditate, and he does it through other people, right? And so more is always being revealed as long as you're on the path to him. Now, if you're on a path away from him, nothing's going to be revealed except more about yourself and your self-centeredness. And that never worked for me. Ask him in your morning meditation what you could do each day for the man who is still sick. I was laughing because I guess that's what therapy is. We want to understand ourselves more. I don't want to understand my self-centeredness anymore. I just want to know I can't work. Understanding it won't help me. I need to be rid of it. Change, be rid of my character defects. Ask him, that's the term in, for prayer in the big book is to ask God. And ask is in the scriptures a lot. It's a special way of petitioning to God for something that will be done. When you ask God in the right frame and relationship with God, it will come, it will be done. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. Is anybody doing that? Does anybody do that every morning? I don't know if I say that, but I say, who can I help today? How can I be helpful? If I'm working with people, what can I do? How can I have the right attitude for them? What can I do? And for the people I don't know who are out there during the day, how can I be loved, patient, kind, and tolerant to them? It says the answers will come if your own house is in order. Well, that's kind of a warning. And how do you get your house in order? Well, that's what the whole steps are about. 1 through 3 is how I get my house in order with God. My house was out of order with God. Why? Because I didn't let God in the house. I was running the house. And the right order is to have God running the house, and I just live in the house in God's house. And so when God is God and I'm working for him, that's the right relationship. How do I get in order with my mind? Anybody have a mind that's tried to kill you a lot? Anybody have a mind that tells you things that aren't true? Well, the way you get in order with your mind is steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. You find out how your thinking is wrong and how you recognize it. You don't want to think, act on those thoughts anymore. And 8, 9 is how you get your life in order with the world. So you've forgiven everyone and you're willing to make amends to anyone that you've harmed. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So if you don't have it, you can't transmit it. And then here it is again. See to it that your relationship with him is right. That's the whole thing. It's always this vertical, everything starts with God. And then all my relationships, if they start with God and I bring them into the relationships, they'll all be okay. Everything starts all the time with going to God first. And after a while, you learn that. You get back in self, you don't feel good, you say, well, gee, I got to get right with God, ask God to direct my thinking. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. And then this is the great fact for us. And notice great fact is in capital letters. So I'm trying to think, is the great fact. They talk about the facts in throughout the book. And I think at the end, they talk about the great fact is that great events will come for me if my relationship is right with him. On page 25, they talk about the central fact, and they talk about, I think they talk about the great fact. Sorry to go back. On page 25, the second paragraph, it says, the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized my whole attitude towards life, toward my fellows, and towards God's universe. And then here's the central fact, and this is a great promise if you're new. The central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my Creator has entered into my hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. God has commenced to accomplish those things for us which I could never do by myself. Powerful stuff. That's page 25 on the solution. And now they end, they're ending the book with this is the great fact. And I think the great fact is this whole paragraph. You know, see that your relationship was right, pray for him, get your life in order, and then great things will come to pass. Now here's the last paragraph, and then they have the last line. And it's very powerful how they wrote this. It says, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Now do we read at any meeting where they say, there is one who has all power, that's God. May you seek him now. And then doesn't it say something about we abandon ourselves to him completely? We ask his protection, care with complete abandon, not some abandon. And then it says, we suggest you take the steps, the program. So abandon yourself and then admit your faults to him and your fellows. That's step 4 and 5 and 8 and 9. And then abandon yourself to God is steps 3, Clear away the wreckage of your past, that's steps 4 through 9. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. Road of happy destiny is in capital letters. And I circled the word that says abandon, admit, clear away, give freely. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, do you notice the words they use here? They don't say go to meetings. You're going to fellowship with God, yeah, of people who are seeking God together. And isn't that what the original church was? People who were seeking God together. There was no building. It was a fellowship of human beings who had the same beliefs. And we're in fellowship of God. We're all seeking God in our lives. And then you will surely meet some of us if you trudge. Trudge is, somebody's going to look it up. Still look it up. Walking with purpose. And then the road of happy destiny is in capital letters. Somebody will comment on what that is. But I think that's the path that we're building, the arch through which we go to freedom. And it says, really, if we see anybody fail, it's thoroughly followed our path. And that's the road of happy destiny was the path. And it says, may God bless you and keep you until then. So powerful stuff. Every time I read it, it's, I don't know about you, but when you were where I was years ago, and you're here now, and you've seen these things happen in your life, you can't help but be very grateful. So next week, we'll start with the cover and the first page, and we'll plow through the book again. So it's good to see Gene. Gene's my spiritual advisor for Louisiana. We share text every day, and it's helped me a lot. Thank you, everybody.
Do we get a certificate of completion?
No, it's never finished.
Oh, man.
Dina.
You get a fellowship award after a 10-hour exam.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just better come back, Dina. Thanks, everybody.